Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the AeroTech third quarter 2016 earnings conference call. All participants are presently in listen-only mode. Following management's prepared remarks, instructions will be given for the question and answer session. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. By now, you should have all received the company's press release. If you have not received it, please visit the investor relations section of AeroTech's website at www.aerotech.com. I would now like to turn the call over to Yacov Haros, General Counsel of AeroTech Corporation. Mr. Haros, please begin.
Thank you, operator. I would like to welcome everyone to AeroTech's third quarter 2016 earnings call. Hosting the call today are Dean Cregg, our Executive Vice President, and Tom Falk, our Chief Financial Officer. Stephen Hemsley, our President and CEO, who normally hosts this call, is unavailable and won't be able to join us today. Before I turn the call over to Dean and Tom, I'd like to remind everyone that this conference call may contain projections or other forward-looking statements regarding future events or the future performance of our company. These statements are only predictions, and there can be no assurance that they will in fact occur. AeroTech does not assume any obligation to update that information. Actual events or results may differ materially from those projected, including as a result of changing market trends, reduced demand, and the competitive nature of AeroTech's industry, as well as other risks identified in the documents filed by the company with the Securities and Exchange Commission. In addition, certain non-GAAP financial measures will be discussed during this call. These non-GAAP measures are used by management to make strategic decisions, forecast future results, and evaluate the company's current performance. Management believes the presentation of these non-GAAP financial measures is useful to investors' understanding and assessment of the company's ongoing core operations and prospects for the future. Unless it is otherwise stated, it should be assumed that any financials discussed in this conference call will be provided on a non-GAAP basis. Full reconciliation of non-GAAP to GAAP financial measures are included in the earnings release. With that, I'd like to now introduce AeroTech's Executive Vice President, Dean Cregg. Dean, the call is yours.
Thank you, Yacov. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. During the third quarter, we were pleased with our operations and the earnings generated from our ongoing programs. For the third quarter, our revenues from continuing operations increased 4% over last year to $24.3 million. Net income from continuing operations reached $1.5 million for the quarter, an improvement of $1.9 million over the same quarter last year. We generated greater margins than is typical as we executed our programs ahead of or on spend plan, with few exceptions. In addition, we are beginning to see the benefit of corporate cost-cutting initiatives we have taken at the urging of our recently reconstituted board of directors. As we announced during August, we have discontinued our investment in the iron flow battery research we had been pursuing. While we believe that the technology has great potential, our commitment to enhance shareholder value has led us to the conclusion that investments to further advance our organic growth efforts in the near to mid-term will provide us with higher returns on invested capital. We therefore decided not to put additional funds into this long-range research and development project. In the context of discontinuing this project, we have also reached an amicable contractual separation agreement with the head of our former iron flow storage project, Bob Ehrlich. At this time, I'd like to provide an operational update on our two divisions, beginning with Power Systems. For the third quarter, our revenues from our Power Systems division continuing operations increased 31% over last year to $12.4 million, while net income increased by $1.5 million. Operationally, our employees at the newly opened AeroTech facility in the Southern District of Israel are working hard to deliver the large battery orders received from the Israeli Ministry of Defense during the last quarter. We are training new staff and preparing to deliver batteries from this facility for the first time beginning in December. This facility will be fulfilling the 70,000-piece rechargeable battery order we received earlier this year, with expected deliveries throughout calendar year 2017. We are encouraged by two opportunities that continue to gain traction in our U.S. power operation at UEC Electronics: hybrid power solutions and vehicle power solutions. We are making technical progress and will host a design review this week with the U.S. Marine Corps for the Mobile Electric Hybrid Power Sources, or MEPS program. MEPS is a portable solution that combines battery technology with existing generator and solar solutions to power four deployed units. The MEPS product reduces runtime on generators, reducing fuel consumption and extending generator life. Our Marine Corps experience with MEPS, as well as our previously fielded Ground Renewable Expeditionary Energy Network System, or GREENS, has allowed us to attract the attention of the U.S. Army. The Army endeavors to create new microgrid technologies that will more ably serve the soldiers' energy demands near the battlefield while also reducing fuel consumption. We hope shortly to be in a position to announce a new development contract which will allow us to contribute to the Army's tactical microgrid research. In the area of vehicle power, UEC continues to advance the state-of-the-art of its Distributed Power Control and Monitoring System, or DPCMS. DPCMS allows existing vehicles to benefit from state-of-the-art modular electronics that are dual-redundant, easy to maintain, and scalable. During the quarter, we received additional funding to continue our DPCMS design work as part of the U.S. Marine Corps' Amphibious Assault Vehicle Survivability and Electronics Upgrade. This work follows our previously successful work on the Marine Corps' Light Armored Vehicle Upgrade. Moving to our simulation division, we are pleased by the solid financial results achieved in Q3. Earnings for the division reached $2.9 million, equivalent to last year, but on stronger margins than a year earlier. Importantly, during the quarter, the PEO Stride Army Contract Command has signed off on the sole source procurement for the Army's Virtual Clearance Training Suites, or VCTS, Phase 2 development program. We had earlier highlighted that our subsidiary, FACT Incorporated, was the company selected for this Phase 2 work, and we are now working to respond to the Army's request for proposal for the Phase 2 task. This five-year program has been highly anticipated by the company, and when awarded, will provide a backlog that we believe will add stability to our revenue projections in 2017 and beyond. The Simulation Division continues to grow its missile simulation technologies programs and received several awards during the quarter that should help us continue to expand this segment of our business into 2017. We have added successfully to our engineering staff in the first three quarters of 2016 and have begun interviewing for open positions that we expect to fill by the first quarter next year. Our service group continues to be an important source of revenue for the Simulation Division. We received numerous extended support awards and renewals during the quarter. The Air National Guard extended their support for the Boom Operator Simulation System installed base of 16 simulators for a fourth year. This contract allows us to provide instruction and maintenance at the previously installed sites, but also provides engineering support to continually improve the systems and ensure their longevity. Additionally, the California Peace Officer Standards and Training Group extended the support for their 108 back driving simulators for a seventh year. Switching to our commercial simulator group, while money for training at the municipal level remains tight, we are putting together a solid year in commercial simulator sales. We are pleased we received two contracts for fire truck simulators during the quarter, including one to a local fire department that selected our full feature simulator over lower cost alternatives. Finally, our Milo division is having a strong sales year and has experienced a marked uptick in sales at the end of the federal fiscal year, a trend that has been absent in recent years due to budget constraints. Our new Milo Theater product continues to attract attention and has become an important segment for our use of force training division. Awards under our previously announced IDIQ contract with the Department of State Bureau of International Narcotics and Law Enforcement Affairs, or INL, have been slower than anticipated so far, but we expect the pace of awards to accelerate in 2017. However, I'd like to highlight that, in addition to the awards we did receive on the IDIQ in Q3, we received two additional awards from the INL that came to us outside the regional scope of the IDIQ contract. Before I turn the call over to Tom for a detailed review of our financial results, I'd like to discuss our updated outlook, which is based on our current visibility and the year-to-date results. Our results through three quarters, together with our forecast for the remainder of the year, lead us to confirm our previously given adjusted EBITDA and earnings per share guidance of $7 to $8 million EBITDA and 18 to 20 cents earnings per share. But we now expect to fall slightly below our revenue guidance of $100 million for the year. The bulk of our business remains defense-related, and we are finding it challenging to predict the timing of new awards. As a reminder, our guidance is provided as of today, and we undertake no obligation to update our estimates in the future. Furthermore, the outlook we are providing includes only organic growth opportunities and does not take into account any potential acquisition. With that, I'd now like to turn the call over to Tom to discuss our financial results. Tom, please go ahead.
Thank you, Dean. As you mentioned, revenues for the third quarter were $24.3 million compared to $23.3 million for the comparable period in 2015. Gross profit for the third quarter was $7.9 million, or 32.4% of revenues, compared to $7 million, or 30.2% of revenues for the prior year period. Operating income for the third quarter of 2016 was $1.8 million, compared to an operating income of $357,000 for the corresponding period in 2015. included in operating income were operating expenses of $6.0 million in the third quarter of 2016, compared to $6.7 million in the year-ago quarter. Total other expenses of $224,000 for the third quarter of 2016 compares to $422,000 for the corresponding period in 2015. The company's net income from continuing operation for the third quarter was $1.5 million, or 6 cents per basic and diluted share, compared to a net loss of $355,000, or 2 cents per basic and diluted share for the corresponding period last year. The company's net income, including discontinued operations for the quarter, was $636,000, or 2 cents per basic and diluted share, versus a loss of $618,000, or 3 cents per basic and diluted share, for the third quarter of 2015. Adjusted earnings per share, or adjusted EPS, was 10 cents for the third quarter of 2016 and 4 cents for the corresponding period in 2015. Adjusted earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization, or adjusted EBITDA, was approximately $1 million for the third quarter of 2016 and $1.8 million for the corresponding period of 2015. We believe that the information concerning adjusted EPS and adjusted EBITDA enhances the overall understanding of our current financial performance, and we compute adjusted EPS and adjusted EBITDA, which are non-GAAP financial measures, as reflected in the tables in yesterday's press release. For the first 9 months or year-to-date, revenues were $71.5 million compared to $69.2 million for the comparable period in 2015. The year-over-year increase was driven in large part by revenue growth in the company's power system division. Gross profit for the first 9 months was $22.6 million, or 31.5% of revenues, compared to $20.2 million, or 29.1% of revenues for the prior year period. Operating income for the first 9 months was of 2016 was $2 million, versus an operating loss of $910,000 for the corresponding period in 2015. Included in operating income was $20.6 million of operating expenses in 2016, compared to $21.7 million in the corresponding period in 2015. Total other expenses for the first 9 months of 2016 were $719,000, compared to a total other expense of $943,000 for the corresponding period in 2015. The difference was driven by lower interest expense as a result of less total debt outstanding and lower interest rates in 2016 as compared to 2015. The company's net income from continuing operations for the first 9 months of 2016 was $554,000, or 2 cents per basic and diluted income per share, compared to a net loss of $2.8 million, or 12 cents per basic and diluted share for the corresponding period last year. The company's net loss for the first 9 months of 2016 was $808,000, or 3 cents per basic and diluted share, compared to a loss of $3.3 million, or 14 cents per basic and diluted share for the corresponding period last year. Adjusted earnings per share, or adjusted EPS, for the first 9 months of 2016 was 16 cents, compared to 4 cents for the corresponding period in 2015. Adjusted earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization, or adjusted EBITDA, for the first 9 months of 2016 was $6.2 million, compared to $3.5 million for the corresponding period in 2015. Overall backlog at the end of the third quarter was $55 million compared to $61.1 million in the third quarter of 2015 and $52 million as of 6/30/2016. The backlog of simulation division was $22 million as of 9/30/2016 versus $30.1 million for the same period last year. The backlog for our power division totaled $33 million as of 9/30/2016 versus $31 million for the same period last year. Turning to the balance sheet, the company had $10.6 million in cash and cash equivalents as compared to $10.7 million at the end of the year, December 31st, 2015. As of the end of the year 2015, Aerotech had net operating loss carryforwards for U.S. federal income tax purposes of $40.7 million, which are available to offset future taxable income, if any, expiring in 2021 through 2032. Utilization of the net operating loss is subject to annual limitations due to the provisions of the Internal Revenue Code of 1986 and similar state provisions. The company accrued $229,000 in non-cash tax expenses in the third quarter of 2016, reflecting the uncertainty of the deductibility of intangible expenses for federal income tax purposes. As of September 30, 2016, the company had total debt of $18.2 million, consisting of $7.4 million in short-term bank debt under our credit facility and $10.8 million in our credit facility long-term loans. This is in comparison to December 31, 2015, when the company had total debt of $20.3 million, consisting of $4.0 million in short-term bank debt and $16.2 million in long-term loans. The company also had $7.6 million in available unused bank lines of credit with our primary bank as of September 30, 2016, under our $15 million credit facility. The company had a current ratio, current assets that is, divided by current liabilities of 2.1, compared with December 31st, 2015, when the current ratio was 1.9. We anticipate filing our 10-Q later today. That concludes our remarks. Back to you, operator, for any questions.
And at this time, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star and one on your touchtone phone. You can remove yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. We'll pause a moment to allow questions to queue. And we can take our first question from Mike Crawford with B. Riley & Company. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thank you. Can you provide some more information on this tactical microgrid research development contract in terms of what it means for the company potentially in a revenue perspective on the development contract? And then that's the first part. And the second part would be opportunities potentially belong beyond that in the timeline for possible production.
Hi, Mike. This is Dean. So the tactical microgrid program for the Army is really a natural extension of the lower power systems we've been doing for the Marine Corps that I highlighted before I introduced that new subject. The Army is going to come to us next year with several million dollars to help them in their research. And in both our METS and this program, the production contracts, were we able to win them, and they will be competed, of course, would be worth tens of millions of dollars in a very conservative estimate.
Okay.
As you remember, Greens was our first foray into this marketplace, which is a very low-power unit comparably, and we worked a sizable IDIQ for that program.
All right, thanks, Dean. So if I heard you right, it's a few million dollars of development revenue maybe in 2017 and
correct.
2018?
It should come out, I think, I'm very hopeful, but before the end of the year we'll have an announcement that will lay it out for you.
Mm-hmm. And then so that would be a couple years of development and then potentially production thereafter?
Right.
Okay. Also, Dean, you talked about the LETS program coming on a little slow. How many task orders have you won off of that officially? You talked about the two additional awards outside the scope. But.
Right. I think, and I don't have the all the details. It's been four or five that they've let, and I believe we've gotten a piece of every one of them, but not the larger piece. In the early going, the contracts that they were awarding were going to sites that already had simulation systems, and they were pretty much following suit. If they had our system, they were getting our system. If they did not, they were getting the competitor's system. And our competitor was better represented on the going in with this customer in Mexico. So we're basically listening very closely to the feedback. We're improving things in our system, specifically in the area of Spanish scenarios that they're requesting. I expect to be more competitive in 2017, but to date, we've probably gotten a third, I would say, roughly, of the monies that they've awarded when we expected to get at least our fair share.
Right. So Virtua was in Mexico, but its new location in Costa Rica, where they just got these $1.4 million of awards combined for Mexico and Costa Rica. So is that
right. So
Spanish was the limiting factor for you there?
Yeah, so if you look at their product and their base, they had a lot more Spanish content than we had going in, and we are working quickly to come back to even on that score. So we expect to be more competitive in 2017 We have advantages with our system that are significant, including price advantages. So we're optimistic that we can right that and get it back to a fair fight into next year.
Okay, thanks. And then last question relates to the virtual clearance training suite RFP timing. Well, actually, I might have one additional wheel simulator question, but what did you say about this phase two development program? That would be a 5-year program. You expect the RFP early next year, or?
So we announced that when the Army basically said they put out a release saying they're coming to us as a sole source, and you were aware of that announcement. It's been taking longer than anticipated to get going. We finally have the RFP from the Army, and we're responding to it currently. We have revenue from that award considerably starting in Q2 of 17 in our future forecast.
Okay. And then the last question that relates to that is what is your prospects for getting something related to common driver training, and when might we see some more formal rebid for that program?
So predicting the award cycle of the Army is not something I want to take my career on, Mike, but there finally is movement on that. There's an RFI that just came out to industry on that program, so there is paper starting to move, and we're thinking that that's a later next year type of award. And based on what we see in the RFI, it appears that the Army will be coming with an IDIQ for that award. Single source, but IDIQ.
Okay, great. Thank you.
And gentlemen, it appears we have no further analysts on the call. I'll turn the floor to you for any further remarks.
Thank you, everyone. This is Tom. We look forward to filing this afternoon and hearing from you in the future. And thank you for your attention this morning. I know it's a busy morning in the financial market. So have a great day.